What is up? It is me, George G. Got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show featuring Connor Sung. Connor is a CFP, a BF, and the Director of Financial Planning at eMoney Advisor. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. Then we got into the research that eMoney has done around an advised versus unadvised clients and how that shakes out with actual financial success and people getting where they want to go, the importance of goal setting, the importance of prioritization, the importance of being really thoughtful about your emotions and your emotional connection to your money, what it takes to actually get things implemented and moving, the value of accountability. Then, of course, we closed with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Connor, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Yeah, of course. My first is that I've only worked for one company. My second is that I've spent more hours this year at events than I have on the golf course. And my third is that I would prefer an Excel spreadsheet over AI.
Okay. Only worked for one company. All right. You spent more time at events than golfing, and you prefer spreadsheets to AI. Did I get those right, Connor?
They are, yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I endeavor and hope that in the future, you will be spending more time on the golf course than events if you enjoy golf. Maybe you don't even like that. And it's awesome that you're going to work at one company for the rest of your life and retire with a gold watch. So that's awesome. So I'm going to say that you're an AI guy over Excel.
That is one take. So I have only worked at one company. I have definitely spent more hours speaking at events than on the golf course. I live somewhere in the middle of the last point of Excel versus AI. And I think there's arguments for both, but definitely the closest not truth, maybe not a complete lie. So I didn't tee you up for success there, but.
Well, I'm taking the W, buddy. Yeah. All right, excellent. Well, thank you. So you've really only worked at one company. How uncommon. You must work for a wonderful organization.
eMoney has been a wonderful time and has treated me extremely well. And honestly, I believe as a CFP in the mission and vision of the company, and I think we've embodied a lot of what planning is and is trying to be. So it's been a fun ride.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. And are you a golfer, or are you just trying to throw me off the scent? Okay.
I figured it would also be a nice stereotype to drive into, but I embody that stereotype too. So.
Okay. I love it. All right. Well, well done. What is top of mind for you right now?
What's top of mind is a quote that I heard. And actually, it was a couple of years ago that I heard it, but it was from a biologist named E.O. Wilson that we are drowning in information while starving for wisdom. Mm. And at the time, it was something that I had heard, and I was like, yep, okay. Great, not super profound, but the more that I've thought about it and the more that it continues to come up in both the context of my personal life, but as well as my professional life, I feel like it really is truthful to where we are as a culture today, just bombarded with information while looking for the right amount of wisdom or personalization.
I think that is a profound quote, and certainly one that I experience on a daily basis, trying to suss out what's up and down and what's true and not true, and trying to make decisions with our money. It is not easy these days, and it would be good to have a little bit of wisdom.
Yeah, for sure. And I also, again, it is super impactful in both directions. And I think from a personal standpoint, going through some health problems of my own, having just historically gone to Google and done whatever, and then eventually I would have seen a doctor who may or may not also still direct me in the right path. But going through decision making, going through mentorship, I think all of these opportunities for large language models, as well as engagements one-on-one like we are having now. But I also look at it from the financial advice standpoint, right? Like there's so much stuff out there, and I say the word stuff intentionally because I don't think it's all good, but having somebody that can point you in the right direction a little bit more personally is vital.
what's the term, AI slop. There's a lot of that going on these days. It's certainly
AI
noise.
Slop. I also heard one recently that I was cracking up about, which was AI is almost intelligent.
I think that's a good one too. So I think that artificial intelligence is an exciting thing, and it's putting just the world of information is at our fingertips, which just makes it so much easier. And if I were to read the tea leaves moving forward, I would say that there's always going to be a role for the human element of it, bringing that, for lack of a better term, wisdom that we've been using, because just because you can read something on a screen doesn't mean that I'm going to be comfortable moving forward with it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think the human aspect of that advisor is definitely the most important part. It's having the face-to-face interaction. But I think it's also being able to read between the lines of what I'm actually saying, the body language, the verbal language, the annotations, the tone, my everything other than my prompt. And I think that the advisor's ability to translate that plus what people are actually saying, getting to the level of like actual context of why they're saying something, what they're fearful about, that amount of prioritization, interpretation, I don't think we'll ever get there from a straight intelligence perspective or a straight technology perspective, but having a subject matter expert, I think, will help to bridge the gap between what technology is extremely good at and then where people are a little bit better, or even in the other direction where people are flawed. I think technology will prop us up.
I remember hearing or reading years ago that Daniel Kahneman, he came to the conclusion through his research that we make 90% of the decisions we make about money are based on emotion. And I was thinking, there's no way that's true. And then I thought about it more deeply, and I'm like, of course that's true. Everything I do is how I feel.
100%. Yeah. And I think about the way that I use some of the large language models today, and I've gotten to this place where I'm actually asking the AI, like, what should I feel about this? Or what should I be doing next about this? Because I know that I'm making an emotional decision to go to the AI to have a conversation about something, and then following that up with, all right, here's my decision context. And then I ask again, like, why should I be doing these things? How should I be feeling about these things? And it's actually pretty insightful.
That's an interesting thing to ask it right there. You said prioritization, and I feel like we've lost that understanding, realization that not everything can be the most important thing, and we do need to actually have a hierarchy of wants, desires, needs.
Well, I can't do everything.
I can't.
I certainly can't with my time, but I think that I can. But the aspect of prioritization, and I think alignment is super important. Actually being able to sit down and truly understand what is making somebody tick. I think you can automatically derive some prioritization directly from that. I think there's still so many financial biases that are just built into the way that people are thinking about, like, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. And if you're able to break down some of those barriers, I think the prioritization comes pretty seamlessly, or it's all time constrained and based on whatever is most time sensitive versus actual pure prioritization.
The thing that's on fire is what needs to be addressed first and foremost. And
exactly.
Once we move out of triage, then we can start to actually be a little bit more proactive.
Yeah, look a little further out.
Which certainly makes sense. And I don't know what the percentages are, but I think it's pretty high that most Americans do have some form of a smoldering fire, if not an absolute dumpster fire going on. Not to cast aspersions, just I look at the numbers.
Yes, definitely. And there is the straight math version of all of these answers, like you should take advantage of your employer-provided savings, save to an HSA, max out your 401k, have an emergency fund. Like there's the purely logical path to all of these, but Totally. There's a different reason why people came in to talk to me today. And it's not 100% not creating a holistic financial plan or hearing that they need to pay down X, Y, or Z credit card debt or this loan first, or, you know, whatever the soup du jour or fire du jour.
That's certainly an interesting thing, is that probably very few people wake up and say, today is the day that I want to engage in a comprehensive, thorough financial planning process. It's probably more often, oh my gosh, I got to start saving for my kids' college, or I need to figure out how to get out of this credit card debt, or I need to figure out how much money to save for the down payment on a home.
Yeah. And I think that going back to your previous question, that's probably where I direct most people to try and get to, is they totally, like, nobody wakes up in the morning saying, I really want a financial plan today. They want the thing that the plan enables, which, going back to eMoney's mission vision, just, I think that about financial peace of mind and confidence in my ability to do the things that I want to do, like some level of financial fulfillment, or even broader, like, life fulfillment. And I think getting to that level of understanding what people actually want to do with their money, right? Money is not, as for most people, I'd assume, money is rarely the end goal, like accumulation of dollars. It's typically, like, the way that I'm looking at it is, it's the vehicle or the tool to achieve the goal. But we need to understand the goal in order to get to the place where we can start pulling levers to understand which tools I have equipped to get there.
Financial peace of mind. Is that extremely subjective?
I think it is exactly as general as we intended it. I think it is in the eye of the beholder what peace of mind is. I look at personally, peace of mind being some quadrant of, like, all of my goals, including finances. And I think everyone impacts the other a little bit differently, and each individual looks at each section as weighted a little bit differently in what their level of fulfillment requires. But it is totally subjective to each individual, their household, their other priorities.
And I completely agree with that. I've thought a lot about just peace of mind in general, and certainly financial peace of mind. And my brain initially goes to finding financial security. And I think too often we want to just all of a sudden run towards financial prosperity, and we skip over that security piece. And it's awfully tough to become prosperous if we never find security.
Yep. But even then, I think about, like, if you're financially secure, and that's what your goal is just financial security, then you find other paths for fulfillment, which I think I would argue is probably more fulfillment than having pure aspirational accumulation type fulfillment.
Yeah, definitely agree. So you've been with the company, it's the only company that you've ever been with. And I remember learning about eMoney many years ago. And I think it was in the context of this cool portal dashboard that was a new concept, at least to my eyes, where I could go and upload things and I could pull things from lots of different places and it would be on one screen. And not to do a commercial for the organization, but tell me how it's progressed and what you're offering today.
Sure. Yeah. So eMoney originally was intended for higher net worth planning needs. So as you think about the complex and detailed cash flow planning that goes along with having a ton of money, that was essentially what the tool was. And then we developed features and functionality around that in order to drive engagement, increase depth and breadth of planning. The path that we've taken over the last 25 and a half years now is to expand more breadth and depth of everything that surrounds the planning process. So we do have super deep, detailed financial planning engagements, but we also have a client experience that kind of surfaces everything in a little bit different path. I'd say that if I had to narrow everything down into a couple of points, it is holistic financial planning and everything planning, collaboration, and then scale. So a lot of the effort and time that we've spent on a platform perspective is trying to enable efficiencies and effectiveness in the creation of financial planning relationships.
So the tagline on the website is financial peace of mind for everyone, I believe. So this isn't just for, this is kind of a throwaway term for high net worth people. You are trying to empower anybody to engage in planning.
Yep. Yeah. Both from the advisor perspective as well as from the client perspective. Like, we believe that regardless of the subject matter expertise of each financial professional or the way that they align as they think about financial confidence. And then definitely from a client perspective, there's no level on the wealth spectrum where we believe that a plan isn't beneficial. And, you know, ultimately would argue that those folks that have been historically underserved probably most need and are most deserving of some planning engagement.
I remember reading years ago that something like 85% of people will never interact with a financial advisor. Do you have an idea of what that statistic is today? I imagine it's probably a larger, more people are probably engaging with advisors, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, so we've done a decent amount of research on advised clients versus unadvised clients. The percentage is surprisingly, it's about the same still. So there's about 30% of clients are still completely unadvised. And the way that we define that is that they have not engaged in a meaningful financial conversation with a financial professional. So they may have gotten advice, guidance from family members who have advisors, but we look at those folks as unadvised clients. The difference between, and you know, this is generalized, but the difference between advised and unadvised clients from a return standpoint, from a net worth standpoint, from a overall asset standpoint is staggering. And then if you go even a little bit further, not to do a promotion specifically for the CFP designation, but the difference between advised clients by a CFP and advised clients by not a CFP is also, again, leaps and bounds. And advised to unadvised was about like 20% higher. And then the CFP had a similar jump between advised, non-CFP, advised, CFP. So it is, at least to me, very clear that the amount of advice that people are getting is drastically impacting their finances. And then as you think about more breadth and depth of planning, I think it also will increase the end outcomes, not to talk about the impacts of that it's actually having on the advisors.
Well, that certainly makes sense. What do you think stops people from engaging in the process or with an advisor?
Either unwillingness because of fear, or unwillingness because they feel like they have enough information and knowledge that they don't need additional guidance. Most of what we've seen in our research are those two key areas. So they feel like they're doing things well enough today, but they, you know, might consider it in the future if their plan, their life becomes more complex and they need support, or they don't think that they are complex enough, that or they're too scared to actually like open up to somebody else.
Which are compelling reasons.
Yes, 100%. And I would be lying if I told you that I didn't have, you know, similar anxieties as I think about my own financial situation. So,
yeah. And you could probably map that onto almost any arena of life of why it is that we don't seek help, why we don't ask more questions about things. For all of those reasons, but the evidence is there. It's kind of like goal setting. We all know that we should do it, but very few of us actually do it.
100%. Or setting some sort of aspirations for the year and then actually achieving any of them.
And getting the follow through on it. That's a whole interesting thing. It's one thing to put a plan in place, but then to follow through on it and to actually check up on it. I bet of those advised clients, I bet a pretty good chunk just it was one and done kind of a thing. I don't know if that's knowable.
Yeah. We have some research mostly around number of recommendations that have been implemented. The research shows that the more clients are engaged, the more likely they are to implement their financial recommendations. And financial recommendation ranges from changing a beneficiary on an existing account to like drastically changing their lifestyle spend. So it is large behavioral changes through something tactical and simple. But engagement is true and is extremely general as to how much and what. Whether it's via an online portal, whether it's via a marketing newsletter, whether it's via in-person events, which could be social events, it could be just us reaching out via financial planning. But engagement seems to correlate highly with actual implementation.
Which is not surprising.
No. The more they see my face, the more they're going to think about their things that they need to do.
That makes all the sense in the world. So you can't just put a diet plan in place or an exercise program in place and get the results. You actually need to stick to it and do the things and update so them, all those things, right?
But I do tried think both. Same here. As I think about both financially and personally, the goals that I have achieved or made the most progress on, which I would also say is achieving, is when I was the most, or when I had I actually had some level of true accountability towards it. And as I think about the planning implementations of that, ensuring that people have an emotional connection to their plan, number one, and to the results of the plan. I think as we kicked off with translating what the money is and what it's going to do for people, will continue to bring them back into the recommendations that you're making and then their willingness to actually make real changes.
Love it. Well, Connor, you've already given us a lot, but ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I think as we talked about, there's so much information. And I think more than ever, there is an opportunity for us as a profession to deliver a ton of personalized guidance and advice. My recommendation is to sit down, figure out what AI does and what it doesn't, and be prepared for your talking points when clients come to you saying that they ran their plan through AI and they got these X, Y, and Z recommendations. And I think what I'm actually saying is understand your true value proposition to your clients and be able to clearly communicate what you are doing for them.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets, come on. Everybody's going to ask AI about what recommendation they just got, whoever it's from, whatever arena it is involved in. And that's maybe not true, but anybody that uses AI is certainly going to do it. So maybe not everybody. Anyway, you get the idea. Well, Connor, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can people engage with you and eMoney?
Sure. I'd say both me and eMoney are most active on LinkedIn. Definitely sharing a lot of thoughts around the industry, technology, where the company is heading, and frequently where I'm at events-wise. LinkedIn is great. We also have a Heart of Advice blog via eMoney's corporate site where we share a ton of thought leadership content and a lot of other great resources, including some of the research that we talked about today. So I would definitely find us on our Heart of Advice blog.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Connor your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. You could find Connor and eMoney on LinkedIn and then check out the Heart of Advice blog. Is that at eMoney.com, Connor?
eMoneyAdvisor.com.
eMoneyAdvisor.com. And I'll certainly link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Connor.
Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.